I'd like to invite you now to turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Tonight we will look at Matthew chapter 7. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. We are transitioning to a different focus in the sermon in chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. So Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Beloved, before we hear God's word, let's go to Him. Once again in prayer, please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who was lifted up on the cross to save us from our sins. We thank you, Father, for the preaching of the gospel that leads us to this crucified Savior who died for us. We pray, Father, that as we hear your word preached, we pray that by your Spirit you would open our ears to receive this word with joy. Father, we pray that we indeed would not outlive our love for you, but that you would increase our love as we hear the gospel tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. Beloved, this is God's word. Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is God's word. In chapter 7, verses 1 through 12, in the first several verses, we see Jesus begin to preach about our relationships with other people. Not just people in the kingdom, but all people. How we deal as Christians with all people. Of course, he has a primary concern for how we deal with Christians, other Christians. That must come first in our lives. But he is also talking about how we deal with anyone that comes into our path. Jesus says, judge not. That means, when he says judge not, it means do not judge anyone. Do not judge anyone that comes into your path in the way that we'll discuss in a moment. That is what Jesus is saying there. But then he also follows this with speaking about your brother in verse 3. And he talks about attempting to take out the splinter in your brother's eye. Well, you have to be very close to someone if you even have the chance to try to take a splinter out of their eye. So this is likely a reference to others in Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ, people very close to us. But in the end, though, Jesus is concerned about all of our relationships. Do not judge. Judge not certainly applies not only to the members of our family and the church members next to us, but to everyone. Everyone we come into contact with. This is to be our motto. This is to be the banner under which we live out our relationships, at least in this regard. Jesus says, do not judge. This is Romans chapter 2. He says, therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. So Jesus says, judge not. Now, there are a couple of things we need to understand here as we consider these words from Jesus. The first is this. When Jesus says, do not judge, he was not forbidding all kinds of judgment. He was not saying that you can never have any type of judgment about any person at any time. That is not what Jesus was saying. There is, in fact, scriptural warrant and scriptural requirement for God's people to have a proper godly assessment of moral behavior, identifying actions as right or wrong, and then possibly speaking to them, is absolutely justified by the Bible and by Jesus himself. He even says, first take the log out of your own eye, then you will be fit to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. He doesn't condemn attempts to help your brother get splinters out of their eye. He doesn't condemn all kinds of judgment, only a certain kind of judgment. And so we have to have an ability to identify right and wrong, and sometimes we are given the freedom to speak to that, to speak to whatever might be wrong or right for that matter. If this wasn't so, then Paul's words to Timothy, his commands to Timothy to reprove, rebuke, and exhort would not make any sense. In order for Timothy to rebuke or reprove someone, he had to first make a judgment. He has to make a judgment call about their behavior if he thinks it needs to be rebuked or not. And so, again, Jesus was not condemning all types of judgment on moral behavior. Nor would Paul's command to parents to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, which is a command from God, that wouldn't make any sense either. We, as parents, have to identify right and wrong behaviors in our children. And in that way, we have to make judgments. We make judgment calls about the things that they do and the things that they say. The same Jesus who preaches here, "Judge not," is the same Jesus who rebuked Peter and said to his face, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." It's the same teacher in both instances. The one who says, "Do not judge," and the other one who tells Peter that he's being foolish and he's getting in the way of the advancement of the gospel. And in fact, right after this lesson on judging, Jesus says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs." Well, in order to not give your pearls to pigs, you have to first identify on some level who the pigs are. You have to have some kind of judgment about who are the pigs and who are the dogs in order to not give them your pearls. And so this would require, in order to do this, to have proper judgment of other people's character. Now, that kind of judgment, that kind of biblical assessment of someone's moral behavior, whether good or bad, it is a sober judgment based on evidence. It's not rushed into, necessarily, but it's a sober judgment. It's a humble judgment, but it's based on evidence. But it is a judgment nonetheless. And so we do have to make judgment calls. Now, that kind of sober judgment of sin and immoral behavior, that is required by Scripture. It's required by Scripture in order to do some of the things that Jesus calls us to do. And it's required especially for parents and for leaders in the church. It's especially required for these individuals in the people of God. We have to make judgment calls. We have to determine sometimes, lots of times, we have to determine what is right and what is wrong, who is right and who is wrong. And of course, those judgments are not always correct. Our judgments are never perfect, but it doesn't free you from making judgments. We have to make those kinds of judgments. And so, for someone to say, "We should not identify sins in others at all, and we should not confront them as needed," and then they go and cite this verse as a proof text. See, Jesus says, "Judge not." We can't identify sin. We can't identify immoral behavior. We shouldn't speak to it. We're not supposed to judge. That interpretation of this verse is a perversion of this verse. And so we need to appreciate and understand as Christians, as faithful Christians, that we do still have to make judgments, a kind of judgment on immoral or moral behavior. Well, with that said, what kind of judgment does Jesus refer to here? What is he forbidding here? Well, Jesus forbids a self-righteous, prideful, and harshly critical spirit in his disciples. That's what he is forbidding. A harshly critical, self-righteous, arrogant, vengeful spirit in his followers. Now, the kind of person that Jesus has in view here is the person who has made himself to be a law unto himself. He is the lawgiver and judge. He is the one who needs to be answered to. And everyone else bows the knee to his agenda, to his standards. He has set himself or herself up as the only lawgiver, as the only righteous judge. Now, in this system, God's law may be used somewhat. It may be used as a basis for what he or she is doing. But in the end, what Jesus has in view here is someone who set themselves up as judge and the final authority in all relationships between brothers and sisters, between man and woman, man and man, whoever it may be, the final authority is man, not God. And it's that man, that person. That is the kind of judgment that Jesus has in view. Now, the most glaring example of this kind of harsh judgment was the condemnation of Christ by the Jews. The unbelieving Jews judged Jesus, the Son of God. They judged him to be a criminal and a blasphemer, and they had him killed for it. Their cold-hearted judgment of him was that he was worse than a murderer. A murderer should go free other than the Son of God. That was their judgment of Jesus. He deserved death. Jesus did. Jesus talks about measures here. He says, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now, in this context, and so that's the spirit that Jesus has in view, this cold-hearted, vengeful, self-righteous spirit in his disciples. That is forbidden. Judge not. Do not judge in that way. Now, in this context, the measure that Jesus speaks of is the way in which you judge a person and the standard of judgment that you use. The measure you use against others is the measure that will be used against you. With the judgment you judge on others, that is the view here, how you treat others, how you respond to others. With the way you judge others or condemn others, so too will you be condemned. If that's how you want to treat others, then you can expect the same treatment yourself. That is what Jesus is saying. In other words, if you set up a standard of behavior based on your own hard-heartedness, your own self-righteousness, your lust for vengeance, your lust to repay, and then proceed to measure other people's conduct by your standard, that is what is in view here. You've got a standard. If people don't meet up to that standard, then they get paid for it. If you do that, then you can expect the same kind of treatment from God through Christ. That is what Jesus is saying here. Jesus, in fact, said, all judgment has been given to me, has been handed over to me. And so all judgment comes through the Son. Now, when I mention God's judgment here, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This is what Jesus had in mind. Jesus has in mind how God will respond to your self-righteous, judgmental, condemning attitude. That is how God will respond to you. He says, you will be judged. Who is doing the judging? It's divine judgment. God himself will do it. Now, what this means is that this may include a human judgment. God may ordain that humans, other people come against you. Other people will come against a condemning person, a self-righteous, judgmental person. He may do that. He may use other people to pay them back. Sometimes those who hand out merciless judgment on others can expect to receive the same type of treatment from other people in their relationships, other people that come into their path. God will do that at times. But what is certain here in Jesus' lesson is that if someone chooses to live their lives from a heart attitude of strict vengeance, if that is how they choose to live all of their days on this earth, if that is the air they breathe, where true mercy is suffocated, true mercy cannot live in that environment, an environment of strict vengeance, an environment of judging others harshly. If they never show to one's neighbor mercy, if they never show mercy or compassion to one's neighbor, then that person will receive the same type of treatment from God, strict vengeance. If they choose to deliver out strict vengeance, they will receive the same type of treatment from God. This is from James chapter 2. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. That's judgment from God. That is what James is talking about. Now, a good example of this is found in David's life, King David. If you remember, after he had sinned with Bathsheba and he had Uriah killed, before anyone really knew that this all had taken place, what David had done, the prophet Nathan approached David with a parable. And if you remember the parable, he said there was two men in a city, one rich and one poor. And the rich man had very many flocks and herds, and the poor man had only one little ewe lamb, whom he loved very much. A traveler came to the rich man, and the rich man did not want to sacrifice one of his many lambs in order to prepare a meal for the traveler. So instead, he stole the poor man's only lamb and had it killed and prepared a meal for the traveler. Well, David heard this story, this parable from Nathan, and he became enraged. And his response was this. He says, "The rich man who did this deserves to die. Strict, merciless justice. He deserves to die. He deserves to get paid back what he did to that poor man." And Nathan said, "You are the man. With the judgment you use, you will be judged." Now, of course, we know that God severely disciplined David and the people of God for this sin. He severely disciplined him, but God did not destroy him, ultimately. God was merciful to him. He was merciful to David. David was one after his own heart. So that was a form of earthly discipline in the form and from God in this regard. But the lesson that we need to learn from Jesus and from that event in David's life is just what Jesus says here. Do not judge. Do not condemn. In your relationships with others, especially brothers and sisters in the church, now these are people for whom Christ died. The people that you are in fellowship with in the church are people for whom Christ laid down his life. He bled to death on the cross for them. That is how we are to regard one another. We are to be merciful. Do not judge. Be merciful. Forgive as you have been forgiven. If your brother sins against you and 7 times 77 he turns and repents, forgive and then continue to forgive again. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Do not judge. Be merciful. Those who are merciful will receive mercy. With the mercy you give to others, you can expect to receive mercy as well. That is kind of how it works. That's what Jesus says. However you want to be treated, treat others. And so that is how we are to regard our neighbors. We are to do these things. Love covers over a multitude of sins. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Now, beloved, this is who we are in Christ. This is our nature. This is who we are, our identity in Christ, that we are merciful. We do not judge. We are not condemning. We're not arrogant. We're not prideful. We are merciful. We're humble, patient, merciful people, especially with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, at one point, we need to remember, at one point, it was natural for us. It was natural for us to be harshly judgmental. But the Spirit now urges us, it compels us, He compels us to show mercy, to forgive. That is now your natural disposition. That is now what feels right to you in your relationships with other people, to be merciful, to forgive, to cover over their sins with love. We have been shown mercy, and therefore we should show mercy, and therefore we should love our neighbor as ourselves. We should bear with one another, bear each other's burdens. Now, if you're like me, because we are still sinful, we may find it easier sometimes to withhold grace, to resist being merciful. That's easier at times, especially when someone has been unmerciful to you, especially when you feel hurt or wronged in some way. It's very difficult to be merciful. It's very difficult to forgive. It's easier to withhold mercy. It's much easier to do exactly the opposite of what Jesus says here, to judge, and judge again. That's easy. We find ourselves at times doing this. We find ourselves telling ourselves, if you hurt me, I will hurt you sevenfold. But Jesus says the exact opposite, and we have to recognize that that is sin. That is our old man tempting us to let ourselves be dragged back down into the darkness, back down into slavery. And Jesus doesn't want us there. Jesus wants us to be free. We have been set free in him, to be merciful, to be forgiving, to bear with one another, to be patient with one another. Being judgmental, condemning, hard-hearted, having a lust for vengeance, that is where Satan wants us. That is where he wants our heart to be. But Jesus has set us free from this, and he says, therefore, do not judge. That is not who we are. It's not in keeping with our character in Christ. Be merciful. Now, if you've ever found yourself tempted to let your lust for vengeance, and we all struggle with this, we all struggle with, you know, wanting to respond with an eye for an eye type of vengeance. If you have yourself find yourself tempted to let your lust for vengeance take over, well, then think again on the cross. Remember that out of his love for us, on the cross, God did not withhold the smallest measure of judgment against your sin on Jesus on the cross. At the cross is where you can see strict divine justice against your sin. The justice that was required was fully satisfied on the cross. Not one drop of divine vengeance was left over when Jesus was crucified. You have been fully and forever forgiven because of that. At the cross is where justice and mercy meets. And so if you find yourself struggling with this, judge not, struggling with this heart attitude of being merciful, being forgiving, think about the cross. The justice that should have come upon you came upon him, and not one drop was left over. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Remember these words. Remember what Jesus has done in your dealings with others, in your dealings with other people. To Christ be all praise and glory, now and forever.